In worship, wasn't it? It really was. Got a couple friends here today. Say hi to Joe and Shirley Wood. Everybody, say hi, Joe. They drove all the way from Evansville to be a part of our men's outing, which we're not going to have today. So they're going to come over and visit with us. We're canceling that because of the weather, so be mindful of that. Last week, I gave you an assignment as we concluded our series on the Ten Commandments, and I told you to take an inventory of your stuff. And then when you get done doing that, which is probably going to take more than 1 week, you're supposed to take an inventory of yourself, an inventory of your life. How many of you got a chance to do that? That's what I figured. That's why I'm extending it another week. You can go ahead and do that. But I think it's a good assignment that we need to do in order to be where we need to be as far as our possessions that Tim talked about just now. This morning, I want to talk about my favorite subject. No, it's not gluttony. No amens or nothing like that. But my favorite subject in all the world, even more than Easter messages, is the second coming of Christ. Anyone else? I love to talk about what's going to take place. I don't know when it is. You don't know when it is, and no one else does. But the second coming of Christ is my favorite subject. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to be going there in just a second. I want to focus on verses 36 through 44. While you're turning there, let me tell you about the tourist I was reading about. He was driving out through western Texas one day when he stopped at this gas station to get a fill up. As he was filling his gas tank, he observed a piece of rope that was dangling in the wind. And at the bottom of the sign, it said, "Weather Forecaster." The tourist asked the gas attendant, "How can you possibly tell the weather forecast with a piece of rope?" And the gas attendant answered, "Well, it's pretty simple, really. When the rope is swinging back and forth, it's windy. And when it gets wet, it's raining. And when it's covered with snow, it's snowing. And when it's stiff, it's freezing. And when it's gone, tornado." I like that because it reminds me of the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says it will be quick, imminent, and it will be unexpected. And it will happen. It'll involve everyone whenever it happens. You'll either be what? Taken or you'll be left. Now, I noticed some pretty significant events down through history, some even in my own lifetime. One of those was a man walking on a moon. What year was it? Anybody? 1969, right? How many of you have been alive? Yeah, you've been alive. How many were alive when the Titanic sank? Don't answer that. Well, here's some significant events that I noted this morning. When God created man and woman in the Garden of Eden, that must have been a wonderful place to be. And I think we'll get a glimpse of that someday, don't you? Eventually. When Moses led the children out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea, I wish I could have been there for that. To see that dramatic miracle that Moses was a part of, and the people walked not on the mud, it says they walked over on dry ground. Could you imagine that? The building of Solomon's temple would have been a sight to see, beautiful. Herod's temple that he built was nothing compared to the temple that David and Solomon had built. But I would have loved to have seen that. And maybe God has pictures for us to see someday. The birth of Christ is pretty significant, amen? And we'll celebrate that in just a couple months. It's coming right up. Jesus healing the sick, casting out the demons, raising the dead. Giving the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, pretty impressive. Amen. People worshiping all in one place. The Bible says 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. But the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, people speaking all kinds of language, yet everybody understanding that language would have been a sight to see. In more recent years, the freedom we have in America, everybody say amen. Aren't you glad what those brave soldiers did behind the leadership of George Washington, so we might live in the freedom we have today? The abolition of slavery, the invention of the printing press, the light bulb. Aren't you glad? The invention of the airplane by the Wright brothers, the invention of the first automobile by Carl Benz in 1886. And I was thinking about that this morning. Aren't you glad that you had something to come to church in? Nobody walked to church today. And aren't you glad we have air conditioning? I can hear it running right now. And all those people that want to go back, they can go back. They can stoke the fire all they want, and they can sit in the hot pews all they want, but I kind of like the air conditioner. I kind of like the lights, don't you? I like that. But I think we take for granted some of the nice things that we have, that men and women spent hours and years and maybe even decades inventing. But the greatest event outside of the birth, death, and burial and resurrection of our Lord is the second coming of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Christ's coming is mentioned over 300 times just in the New Testament alone. That's one out of every 25 verses from Matthew to Revelation. Over and over again, the gospel writers, the epistle writers, they say this: watch, keep watch, be ready. Now, those 3,000 plus references about Christ's second coming in the Bible, I want to talk about three observations about His coming. Pull your bulletin out and follow along. First of all, Christ's second coming will be one of secrecy. Matthew 24, 36 through 39, Jesus says, "No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, not even the Son," that's Jesus Christ, "but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the beginning of the Son of Man." The coming of the Son of Man. "For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what was going to happen until the flood came and took them all away." This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. "Two men will be in a field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left." Now, Jesus very clearly says here, no one knows, not the angel, not himself, only who? God the Father. Yet there has been hundreds and thousands of men and women down through the years who have tried to predict the second coming of our Lord. And there are people on the TV today, this morning, trying to tell you when He's coming. Let me tell you something. Nobody knows. I don't know, you don't know, Benny Hinn don't know. I don't like that guy anyway. I didn't get away, man. Hal Lindsey, have you read any of his stuff? He don't know. He really don't. In the year 500, Helopitus predicted that Jesus would come back in 500 A.D. Guess what? 500 A.D. came, 500 A.D. went, no Jesus. In the year 1000, that was a year of significance and predictions of Christ's second coming. And records from 1000 A.D. tells us that the farmers didn't even put a crop out that year. They thought that Christ was coming back, so they didn't even bother. 1000 A.D. came, 1000 A.D. went, no Jesus. I bet they went hungry that year, amen? There's also a little known fact about Christopher Columbus. A lot of people don't know that he was a studier of prophecy. And he predicted in his book, The Book of Prophecies, that Christ would come back in 1556. Well, 1556 came and 1556 went. No Christ. And Christopher Columbus should have stuck to the ocean blue and the Ninta, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria because he knew nothing about the second coming of Christ. Still a great explorer. Write this down. 1666. It was another year that many, even preachers, thought that Christ was coming. But 1666 came and it went and still no Christ. And I could have told them that He was not going to come back in 1666 because there's too many sixes in that number. And you all know by studying Revelation that 666 is Satan's mark of the beast. We know that. It seems like just yesterday people in our own era was predicting that Christ would come back in the year 2000. Remember that? I'll never forget. And on that Sunday, the church was full. Clay City Christian Church, it was full. People had not been there for years, and they came to church and they said, "Oh, I'm a member of Clay City Christian Church." And I said, well, I didn't say it. I thought it. Oh, good, I've never seen you here before. But they sure came that Sunday, and we had a full house. But you know how many of them came back the next Sunday? Hardly any of them. It scared them. And I want you to know, it ought to scare people that Jesus Christ is coming. He'll come quick. He'll come secretly. And when He comes, people better be ready. They have no idea. It won't be 2020. It's already passed. And some of those people that came in 2020 to the Clay City Christian Church, they're going to have to wait to the year 3000 now. I don't know how old they'll be by then, but they got to wait. And guess what? They still don't know. And many ministers continue to try to predict. They write books. There has been books, thousands of books written on the prophecy of Christ and His second coming. But I want you to know they're wasting their money. We need to stop trying to figure out when Christ has come, and we need to be ready all the time. Harold Camping is another man who has written and predicted Christ's second coming. Harold Camping was wrong. The bottom line is no one knows except the Father. I like what the famous Protestant preacher Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said about Christ's return. If Jesus returns tomorrow, then tomorrow I will rest from my labor. But today I have work to do. I must continue the struggle until it is finished. And he did. He died a martyr's death. Great man of God. Bonhoeffer was right. And I want to tell you this morning, we just don't know when Christ is coming back. It's a secret. So until that secret is revealed, until the skies are parted, I want you to know, for myself and for you, that we need to be busy. We need to be busy. Paul reminds us in Philippians 2, 14 through 16, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ, His second coming, that I did not labor for nothing. Friends, Jesus Christ is coming back. It may be today. It may be tomorrow. It may be 100 years from now. It's a secret. We don't know. But one thing that is not a secret, you and I have to be busybodies, because we want to get as many people ready to go as possible. I love that song, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon, Jesus is coming again. But it's a secret, so we need to be ready at all times. Number two, a second observation is this: not only will Christ's return be one of secrecy, it'll also be one of selection. Jesus says in Matthew 24, 40 through 41, two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with the handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Now I got to thinking about that. Probably won't be no handmills out there. We got state-of-the-art equipment now. But Jesus is riding in a time that he had to get people's attention. Now he would have said something like, two men will be combining in the field, one will be taken, the other left. I won't have any no red-green jokes today, Tim, so I'm going to leave that alone. But look at this verse if you have your Bible open. I want to make two observations here that we need to be mindful of. First of all, Jesus is describing people who are doing everyday activities. And apparently the day of the Lord will come, not on some special occasion, even though it could, but on some ordinary day. I've always thought as a Christian that Jesus would come on Sunday, didn't you? And for you people that go to Sunday school, I always thought, hey, what better time to come to Sunday school? And then a lot of times we used to have Sunday night church. How many remember Sunday night church? Well, those people that come back for Sunday night church, well, Christ will surely come to Sunday night church. Well, the way it speaks here, we're going to be working, doing everyday activities. You people that work in a factory, he could come when you're working a factory. You ladies who like to go to the shopping mall, he could come. I don't know if you consider that work or not. It's work for me because I have to sit there and wait for my wife to get done. That's work. I believe Jesus Christ could come at that time. And a second observation is this. The people in these verses are doing the very same activity. Whether they are taken or whether they are left, they're doing the very same thing. And they're doing it together. But wouldn't it sound better like this? One man was in a prayer meeting praying, and he was taken, but the guy that was in the Las Vegas casino, he was left. Or how about this one? This woman was fixing communion on Sunday morning, and she was taken, and the woman who decided to go shopping on Sunday, heaven forbid, she was left. Doesn't it sound better? But that's not what it says. It says they'll be out in the field. They'll be going about their everyday activity, and they'll be taken or they'll be left. Now, obviously, this doesn't have any type of work that you're doing. It isn't talking about that. But it is talking about carrying on your everyday work schedule. And when you do that, Jesus comes. We don't think about that, do we? And it's not enough just to know who Jesus is. And I want you to get this. It's not enough to know who Jesus is, because the Bible says in James chapter 2 that even the demons know who he is and they shudder. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." He goes on to say, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and perform miracles?' Then I will tell them very plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Now I want you to think about that, because it's pretty impressive to prophesy in Jesus' name, to drive out demons, to perform miracles. And I've never done any of those things. I've never prophesied. I've never drove out any demons. I've never performed miracles. But I'd be impressed if somebody stood up here today and did that, wouldn't you? But Jesus goes on to say, that's not enough. It's not enough to prophesy. It's not enough to cast out demons. It's not enough to perform miracles. That's just going through the motions. Friends, I want you to know today, this is where the rubber hits the road. It's not enough just to believe in God. It's not enough just to come here on Sunday morning. It's not enough to partake of communion and put money in the offering box. It's not enough. Are we really doing the will of the Father? Are we doing what he says? Are we producing fruit? Matthew 7:16 says, "By their fruits they'll be known." So let me ask you right now, before we move on to our final point, what are we doing right now? Who are we talking about? Who are we inviting to church? Who are we talking about Christ's second coming to? Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen fast. And we better be busybodies. And I don't know about you, but my toes hurt. I could sure be doing a lot more. Anyone else? My neighbors, my friends, I've got family members, they don't know the first iota about Christ. They're not Christians. Some of them have never darkened the doorstep of a church. They've never been baptized. They've never called on the Lord. They never repented their sins. They continue to live in sin. And I think about those people, my friends, my family. Even the people I don't like, Jesus says that we're supposed to be a witness to them. "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they'll glorify God on the day he visits us." What are we doing? Let's start today trying to figure out who we can talk to. Figure out who we can call on the phone. Figure out who we can invite to church. Because by our produce, we'll be known. Number three, the third and final observation about Christ's second coming will be this. It will not only be one of secrecy and selection, but it'll also be one of surprise. Jesus says in Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know what day the Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." So it's not enough not to know, but Jesus says it'll be a time when you're not even thinking about it. A time when surprise will happen. We've had a rough year, amen? We've had a rough year and a half. 2020 and 2021 has been kind of rough. And I thought, well, you know, Jesus, maybe he'll come back and rapture the church, be a good time, get us out of this mess. But you know what? I don't know. I don't know, and you don't know, so we might as well be busy. This past Friday, this 2 days ago, was deer season. Anybody get to go deer hunting? Traditionally speaking, it's not really tradition. It's one of Carson's what ifs. So I like to go hunting on the first day of deer season, and I did. I did stay at Dave Whitaker's house till about 10 o'clock, and it was really hard getting up in the morning, but I went. I didn't see anything, but it was good to be out in God's creation. But before I went out hunting, I actually went back on the home place where my sister lives now, and I noticed all the lights were on in the house. Now, I don't know if she's listening to this or not, but she always leaves the TV and the lights on in the house. Anybody else ever do that? Go to bed. Lights, I see some head shaking. Lights are on. TV's on. So I said, I'll go in there. Shut the TV off. So I walk in their house. It's unlocked. I walk through the kitchen. I come around near the living room. She comes out of the living room as I goes in. And her face turns white. And I thought she's going to pass out. And I said, you can't be awake at 5 o'clock in the morning. She goes, I've been awake for 2 hours now. That's just the way my sister is. She's up all hours of the night. She's busy. But I scared her. Almost gave her a heart attack. I didn't want to give her CPR. I really didn't. But you know what? I got to thinking about that. That's kind of the way it's going to be when Christ comes back, isn't it? It's going to be a surprise, and people are not going to be expecting. And it's like somebody breaking in your house and stealing your stuff. And you walk out there in the shed, and there he is. What do you do? Well, you don't have time for that because you don't expect him. You don't know he's there. We can be hunting in the woods. We can be on a tractor. We can be in the garden, in the factory, the shopping mall, out on the golf course, heaven forbid. Or just being in church when Christ comes back. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never been buried in the watery graves of Christian baptism, it ought to scare you to death. You ought to be scared. When you walk out of this church this morning, you ought to be scared, because I want you to know Jesus could come today. Jesus says in Luke 12:35, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will be dressed. He will dress himself to serve. And he will have them recline at the table and will come to wait on them. I forgot about this part in the scripture. I had to bring it up to my memory. It says it will be good for those servants to be ready, because when he comes, he will serve. But understand this, Jesus says, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not let his house be broken into. You also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Now it's important to know something, that in Jesus' day, weddings would go on for hours and days, and you know, man, we're ready to go home at 10 o'clock. I mean, we've been to a wedding party, we're out of here. I mean, they're just getting started. Now, I don't know what all they did to those wedding parties. I mean, most of the time they were good wedding parties, Jewish wedding parties, and even some of the Romans were involved in some of these wedding parties. They would have one watch the night, two watch the night, three nights watch the night, and they'd have four, sometimes four watches of the night, and they'd stay up all night. Jesus here is trying to get our attention. He might come in the first, the second, the third, or the fourth watch. We don't know. Friends, I want you to know Jesus Christ is coming back, and he will rapture the church, and we need to be ready, and you need to be ready, and your friends need to be ready, and your neighbors need to be ready, and the people that you don't like, they need to be ready. Because I want you to know, hell's a terrible place. I had somebody tell me just this week, I'm ready to die. I know you want to hear it. You know what I told him? I said, you're right, I don't want to hear it, because I know what happens exact time after you die. There is no coming back. There is no second chances. There is no mulligans. When you die, you're dead. The Bible says it's appointed for a man to die once, and after that, stand before God. Now, a lot of preachers believe differently on this subject. Nobody knows. I believe that when you die, you stand before God, and you're judged. Now, do you get your full punishment or reward? We don't know for sure. We do see one parable in the Bible about Jesus and the rich man who went to hell. We know about that, but it's a parable. But here's the deal. When you die, you're dead. Can everybody say that? When you die, you're dead. You can't come back. And you need to be ready. And you need to get as many people ready as you know. I want to close this morning with this story that commentator and preacher Warren Wiersbe once shared. It's about a young boy who found himself caught on the back of a wild horse after it bucked off its rider and he was running out of town. Seeing the child in danger, a young man risked his life and limb, chased down the horse, jumped on the horse's back, and brought that horse to a halt. The child who was saved that day showed very little appreciation to the man who had saved his life. As a matter of fact, That unappreciative young man went on to be a ruthless and lawless man in the town. One day, after committing a horrific crime, the ruthless boy, the man now, was arrested and he was asked to stand before the court judge. When he was brought into the courtroom, he ran into the judge, and guess who the judge was? The same man who had jumped on that horse just a few years earlier and saved his life. And once again, the young man, in need of a savior, pleaded with the judge to save his life. And this is what the judge said. "Young man, the first time I was your savior, but today I am your judge. And because of your horrific crimes, I now sentence you to be hung by the neck until dead." Friends, I want you to know that is a sad story to hear. But that is the way it will be when Jesus Christ comes back. Jesus is already my Savior. Jesus is already your Savior. If you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, He's already that. But the next time He comes, He won't come as a Savior. He'll come as a judge. To judge the world. I was watching an interview that Billy Graham was once involved with Johnny Carson. I don't know if you've ever seen this interview before, but Johnny Carson, during the interview, he looked over at Billy Graham and he said, "Hey, Billy, when Jesus comes back a second time, you think we'll do Him in on the cross like we did this last time?" Billy Graham sat on the edge of his seat and he said, "Nobody will do Jesus in. The next time He comes, He'll come in glory. He'll come to take us home." As we come to a time of invitation, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is coming back. Maybe morning, maybe evening, maybe noon, we don't know. But I do know this: He's coming back. And you may be sitting here this morning thinking, "Well, I'm not sure I'm ready." If you're not a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, I know you're not ready. But maybe you're already a baptized believer in Christ, but you need to change some things. You need to clean some things up. The invitation is also for you. I don't know about you, but I want every person in this room to be taken with Christ someday, don't you? Let's allow that to happen. Let's stand and sing.